The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
But first, as you've been hearing, the Taoiseach will deliver a long-awaited apology to the families of the Stardust victims. Antoinette Keegan lost her two sisters, Mary and Martina, in the fire and has campaigned for years with the other families of victims for justice. She joins me now to talk about what might unfold today. Antoinette, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat, and thanks for having me on your show.
Now, Antoinette, it's been a long and arduous road and it's coming to its conclusion. What do you expect from the Taoiseach today?
Well, we had a very positive meeting with him last Saturday in the Dáil, and it was constructive with families having their input insofar as like what they would be hoping to get from the state apology. And I believe it is all positive. I haven't seen it yet, but I do believe that Simon Harris is doing his very, very best, because he did ring me yesterday evening, last night, and said he had the apology finished. I haven't seen it, and I don't know what it contains, but he did say that he's heading to the memorial. I didn't know which memorial he was going to, and he said, I'm going to the one in our town. So he just said, I'm heading there now. And I said, well, I'm here in Coolock. I said, I could go down and meet you down there. He said, I'd love that. So I went down, and I had a pin, one of our pins with the 48 on it. And I said, would you like one? He said, I would. And he said, can I put on my jacket? And he put on his jacket. I do believe that he is sincere. And I want to actually listen to the apology. And then I will say, once I'm happy with it, I'd say thank you very much. And I believe that he's the only sincere Taoiseach in 43 years that has put his hand out, only being put in there as Taoiseach, that he has put his hand out to see if he can relieve the families of the deceased victims with whatever their concerns was and alleviate the pain and suffering. We will never forget our loved ones. They'll always be there. But he is the only sincere Taoiseach, in my eyes, that has come to us, to see how he can help.
Does it help, do you think, that he wasn't born when the Stardust happened?
It does, because maybe he has seen the way we were treated, and he can't understand that this should have never happened. 43 years of systematic abuse by the Irish state onto us families, and that's what it has been. And he actually said he wouldn't like that to happen to his family, that he would do the exact same thing as what we done.
Now it's so long ago, and so many of the people, even those listening now, were not around or have no memory of it happening because it was so long ago. I mean, you'd need to be probably 50 at least to have any kind of recollection of it. You know, a 7-year-old child might have remembered something. But what this process, the inquest, has done is to bring it back to a reality for a younger generation who can only imagine what their reaction would have been should a fire break out in a nightclub that they would be currently attending.
Yeah, and that's very true, Pat. And that's why I actually brought up at the meeting on Saturday that it should be put in the curriculum for the children in the history book, because this is part of their history. It was the biggest disaster in the history of the state. And it would educate children that, if they go into a nightclub and they see a door locked or they see anything that is wrong, they have to report it, so that we never, ever have another Stardust like what we had in 1981, resulting in 48 deaths and over 214 injured.
Now, over the years, Antoinette, you've been campaigning for so long, and every time you seemed to make a bit of progress, there was yet another setback and insult heaped upon injury for all of those families of the victims. In what way can the state, the apology, words are words and words can be powerful, but at the same time, they are just words. In what way can the state redress the injustice that has been perpetrated on you?
That's a hard question to answer, Pat, let's be honest, because from the night of that fire, Right, I have lived nothing but stardust. My life hasn't been lived. Like, I've been fighting the case with my father, Lord have mercy on him. He passed away in December 1986. And then my mother took over as chairperson at the Stardust Victims Committee. And she fought half her life looking for truth and justice. And literally, we were left, like, abandoned by the state because we hadn't got our parents around. They were out fighting for justice. We had nobody to come and help us, right? We got no counselling, we got nothing. So it is a hard question to answer, but I hope the Taoiseach has addressed this because it was brought to his attention on Saturday of the way we were abandoned by the state and insulted. And, like, my mother was told several things at meetings, like, you know, you're only here because you lost children, go home and get over it. Like, things like that was very, very hurtful. And the situation is, right, I know that Simon Harris is a young Taoiseach, but it takes a young breed to understand what was done on families of the biggest disaster in the history of the state, to acknowledge, right, that all the wrongs that was done are going to be put right.
Now, I don't know what the next process will be in terms of the criminal inquiry, because obviously, the report of the coroner goes to the Garda Síochána, and obviously testimony was brought to the jury at the inquest, and they made their decisions. I know there weren't unanimous decisions in every case, but the Gardaí then have to really start the ball rolling all over again, don't they?
Yeah, well, it's just one way we're looking at the moment, one step at a time. We're getting the public apology today, so I couldn't even comment on what aspect is going to be forthcoming after the public apology. I just leave all that to our legal team, and they've done a fantastic job so far, so they haven't put us wrong, and we got the verdict that we wanted for 43 years, unlawful killing for our loved ones.
And somebody, therefore, it has got to be made accountable for that.
Accountable, exactly. There has to be somebody accountable for the deaths of 48. There has to be.
Yeah.
That's another avenue that has to be explored. But just today is a very, very important day for us families of the deceased victims. That's finally been acknowledged, right, that our loved ones have a verdict. And they went out for a good night, paid their £3 into a nightclub, and they were unlawfully killed. They were Irish citizens and they were treated as insignificant of the Irish state for 43 years.
Now, do you have your own theories as to why that was the case, that you were marginalised and that the whole business of arson was so readily believed?
I've always had that, and so had my father, Lord Mason, and Charlie Board. Charlie Board and my father had the same saying. If this had happened in Donnybrook and not Bonnybrook, where a lot of the children died, then it would have been a different, scenario. It would have been a different thing because we came from a working class family. So it was a class distinction, right, because where we came from, that this is the way we were treated.
Yeah. And you know, when I was reading about the profile of so many of the victims, to realise that, you know, many of them, you say you come from a working class background, they were working. You know, these were boys and girls who had money in their pockets because they were out there holding down jobs.
That's right, yeah. Like my younger sister, Martina, although she was going to secondary school, she had a part-time job in Superquin. And that was her money if she wanted to go. It was only part-time, so she didn't have to actually hand money up to our parents because back then it was really difficult, right? It was financial difficulty with, like, parents, like, trying to raise children. There was 8 children in our family home, and, like, my father was the only one working. He was working in Cadbury's, a fitter's mate he was. And, like, the money that the income he'd be coming in with wouldn't be enough or sufficient to help the household. So myself and Mary and my brother John, we got full-time jobs. And what we used to do was hand up half our wages. Like, I'd get £30 a week and I'd hand £15 up a week to my mother to help out, because we always said that they helped us, they brought us up into a good education and they gave us the best in life, and it's time for us to pay back. But that's the way, like, the government treated us, like, they're only working class. Brush her under the carpet. Like, They never know the truth. But the truth came out in the end. It took us 43 years with a lot of research, a lot of reports going in and out of the government, right, with them just saying that's not new evidence, doesn't warrant a new inquiry. But we got the truth through Darren Mackin and Phoenix Law, our legal team, with the inquest being reopened. And the inquest, although it was only a statement of facts, right, the facts was clear in there with all the experts and the witnesses telling the jury and telling the coroner that the doors were locked, we couldn't get out.
Now, I'm sure there hasn't been a day since the Stardust fire that you have not been thinking about your sisters, Martina and Mary, and the women they might have become today.
I've always thought about it, and I had, over the years, like, I had a guilt feeling, like, that I survived and they didn't. And, like, I did try to kill myself a good few times, feeling the guilt that I got out and they didn't. But I've often thought about Martina. She would have been very happily married. I could have a lot of nieces and nephews because she was stunning. Mary was the same. Martina was going out with David Morton that night and he was killed as well. Mary was going out with a boyfriend as well. And, like, life has never been the same. At the kitchen table, there's two empty chairs. There's four empty chairs now. My mother and father passed away. And it just has never been the same since 1981. The 13th of February, 13th and 14th of February, literally ripped my family apart. Ripped it apart to the extent, like, that we had such a loss, right, with losing two sisters and then our parents, like, shortly afterwards. So, like, we miss Mary and Martina. Like, it comes at a birthday, it's a celebration, and we wish they were there. Comes the Christmas, we miss all the joy and fun that we had when we were younger. It's just, it's a sad day when it comes to a celebration in their home, because it's not a celebration, it's tough. Like, they're not there, right, but we still love them and we still miss them very much.
Now, the apology that is being worked upon, is, you said that Taoiseach said he had now completed the text of the apology. What are you looking for in that apology?
I want an acknowledgement of the way that we've been treated for 43 years. And I want an acknowledgement that the state was wrong to do it on us.
So you want the state to admit its own culpability, not just simply to say, we're sorry it happened to you.
No, I want them to apologise for the way that we've been treated
now
for 43 years.
There is talk of a redress scheme. Do you have any ideas as to what form that might take and who should be included in it? You know, we talked on the programme last week to Sean Reinhardt, who survived it with some burns, who thought he was dead and then woke up with his face close to the floor and managed to make his way out. So there are people who did survive it, who were actually caught up in the blaze but did survive. They are victims too. The people who had to try to get into the building and rescue those, the emergency services, there are so many people who've been traumatised by what happened. So any redress scheme, who should it include?
Well, at the moment, now, I was just going to say, I knew Sean Reinhardt. He was actually on my father's committee that was set up on the 5th of May 1985. Sean was on that committee, and I knew him well, and he did sustain burns. But at the moment, right, as I said, right, it's one step at a time, right? But the first step is the public apology. And I have heard nothing. It's all, like, so far, it's just rumours, because nothing has come to our legal team insofar as redress. Now, I am meeting Micheál Martin this week. He's away at the moment. But he rang me on Sunday and just said he wants to meet me. So, like that, I will go to meet him with our solicitor. So, like, he's just said, I want to meet you on a personal basis. Yeah. But I said, I'll go on a personal basis, but I want my solicitor there.
Yeah. So, and the other thing, there. I suppose, Micheál Martin has a direct lineage from the leader of Fianna Fáil, Charlie Haughey, who obviously said many things in the wake of the tragedy.
When I spoke to Micheál on Sunday, I told him, like, this is not our fault. We got a tribunal of inquiry, and that interfered in our judicial rights, putting arson on the public record. We should have been allowed to get into a court of law, right, and fight our case and do whatever we had to do. I said, but the government interfered in our judicial rights. I said, Fianna Fáil, Charlie Haughey. I mentioned all the names going down the list. And I said, and as for you, like Micheál, and I won't deny this, and he won't deny it. I said, my mother could have possibly been still alive. Tommy Broome put a motion on the table in 2017 for a commission of investigation. Every party was on, like, agreed to, like, support that motion. And I even had a letter from Micheál Martin to say that he'd support it too. But on the 11th hour, they went with Fine Gael. So we end up getting Pat McCartney.
The Taoiseach has said, and it was played on the news, that he's looking for some way to commemorate the tragedy in a permanent way. Do you have any ideas as to how that might be done?
Well, we did say that at the meeting. Like, you know, when they were doing the new bank holiday, right, in February, we thought it was going to be like St. Valentine's Day for the 48, but it was St. Bridget's Day. But there has to be a day of commemoration every year to mark and respect the 48 that was unlawfully killed in the biggest disaster in the history of this day. And it has to be acknowledged, right, that the younger generation knows about this. So when there's a commemoration day, right, it's a day, right, where, like, the Archbishop came out to a church the other night when on Sunday, I think it was, or on Saturday it was, and said a mass for all the 48 victims. Because that church has, from 1981, has done a mass, right, every year, and all the 48 names is called out. But it has to be acknowledged, right, that in the commemoration, that each single name, right, of each victim will be called out and will never, ever be forgotten.
Well, Antoinette, today is a very big day, and I have to congratulate you and your colleagues for an extraordinary campaign. Your doggedness, your resilience in the face of so many setbacks is wonderful to behold.
Thank you very much. And this day we will remember my mother and my father and Charlie Burt.
All right. Antoinette Keegan, who lost her two sisters, Mary and Martina, in the Stardust Fire. Thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.